The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's be honest. Like, last night's game wasn't the most attractive Monday Night Football game we've seen. Oh, unless you like the green uniforms that the Seahawks were wearing last night. Russell Wilson, like, threw for 72 yards, but he did run for 61. That's the kind of rumble-tumble Monday Night Football game that we got last night. Minnesota still in this thing. It's 6-6-1. They still have that sixth seed despite the loss last night. But you know what? They better be careful. Because games like this, if this is going to be the trend as they're closing out the season, where they were just anemic offensively, that's going to not bode well for a team that's at least trying to get to the playoffs. But even if they get to the playoffs, there was nothing exciting about either team. But you can point to something that Seattle did well last night, and that is defensively they played well. And that leads to a larger question I think a lot of us are contemplating about the season so far, is that, is it going to be the high-powered offenses that are going to dominate the postseason, or are these going to be where the defenses in the trenches, or they play really good coverage and they start stuffing you offensively when you try to run the ball? Is that going to be where we're heading into the playoffs? Which one of these two sides is going to prevail? Because when you looked at what Sunday night, for example, with the Bears beating up on the Rams, and all of a sudden the Dallas Cowboys an interesting pick in the postseason because their defense is very good and they're doing some things offensively that could keep them productive in the postseason. Now the question becomes, which side would you be on in terms of what would you think the Super Bowl is headed with these two teams, right? A Rams, a Chiefs, a Saints, or a defensive unit as strong as, let's say, Seattle or Dallas. Just get into this thing and let the defense do the work, even if the offense isn't on fire. And I think last night was, you know, one of those kind of games. It wasn't attractive at all. It wasn't fun at all. The Seattle's defense scored a touchdown. Russell Wilson wasn't his usual Russell Wilson. He did have a 40-yard run in the game. But overall, I think the larger question is, okay, has defense made a statement in the last couple of weeks to say, we're here and we're not going anywhere? As we got so excited thinking that offensive units are now going to be the thing that we're going to judge NFL teams by. It's kind of an interesting conversation. Ron and I will talk about it coming up, as well as I'll have top five, bottom five later on in the show. It is SB Nation AM.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. So offense or defense, is that where we're heading in the NFL in terms of which team, which side of that of the football you like going into the postseason? Because we feel, I feel like we've had like two extremes this season, right? We got these strong defensive units, but the offensive units have been fantastic. I mean, they've been the talk of the league. Last night's game wasn't that fun. Are those Seattle uniforms popular, Ron? Do you think that like people actually are like, I got to get the absolutely bright, you can see me from three blocks away, Seattle Seahawks jersey?
I think construction workers.
Yeah, that's about it, right? Yeah. Joggers, maybe?
Joggers. I mean, anyone who's doing stuff at night that needs a little pick-me-up, or, you know, so you're
airport guy. What are those guys at the runway guiding airplanes?
Yeah, I mean, they have
I can see him. Look, there he is.
They have those light batons, but, I mean, you throw a light on that thing, you can't miss them.
No, you can't miss them. I like, every time they wear those, I go, I feel like I got to adjust the color on my television.
Yeah,
I guess that's why they're called Color Rush, right?
Even though they're technically last not night's doing game was color just rush. Terrible.
No, those are not. Those are like a third alternate jersey. Is that what those are?
I don't know
what they are.
You just go throwback. Yeah, I don't understand. I thought a long time ago, you know, with Throwback Thursdays being so popular, why not just do throwback uniforms on Thursday Night Football?
I always thought that. That would have been great if you could get a Thursday night game where you've got the old school stuff. I liked that. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm a nostalgic guy. And then the NFL was like, nah, the helmets are too complicated with the helmets. And I'm like, so I'm never going to see the Patriot Minuteman, or I'm never going to see the other classic helmets and logos that have changed over the years. Really?
Come on.
You can't paint them? What are you talking about? I don't get it. But those uniforms are just yikes.
Yeah, they're terrible.
No, they're terrible. So was the game last night. What a terrible game.
I looked at one point, and I mean, sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? I don't really think there's much offense going on right now.
Yeah.
So I decided to check, and I'm looking at all the drive because, you know, I'm not paying attention in game, but I'm looking at all the yardage for the drive. So I'm like, man, no one outside that one drive the Seahawks had in the first half where they ended up with a field goal. There was like no drives over 40 yards. It's like everyone three plays, five plays, punt.
There's a sense of frustration on the Vikings side, though. Adam Thielen is like kind of frustrated, and he made the comment about don't blame the offensive coordinator, blame the players. But you really can blame the players if they're not executing, you know, the plays. The offensive coordinator, if he's not calling enough plays that allow you to be successful, you can blame the players every time. But even if offensive or defensive coordinators aren't calling good plays to help you be successful against the other team's defensive or offensive strategies, then you're going to fail. It doesn't matter if you execute, you're going to fail.
And can we put some of the blame on Kirk Cousins as well?
Yes.
I mean, he is.
There's 84 million reasons to blame Kirk Cousins.
He is
for this.
Just looking awful.
He's very pedestrian, which has got to drive Minnesota fans crazy because they were a game away from the Super Bowl last year. And they thought, well, if we beef up this, and this is, you know, listen, it's sports. We get it. Sometimes, you know, it's not PlayStation or Xbox. You don't just punch into a computer a better system and a better and you know, better people on paper, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality of it is this team's a mess, and he's one of the reasons. I mean, he's not been electrifying. He's not given the offense a big kick boost that they were looking for to take it to that next level. They're barely going to make the playoffs if they make the playoffs at all. And even if they're in, how long are the Vikings going to last? 10 minutes
maybe
before they're done?
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is a shell of a
team. In a blink of an eye.
It's a shell of a team that went to the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah. I mean, again, there was a lot of optimism in Minnesota about what we were building. We're building something, and now it's 500 football. Still good enough to squeak in, and I guess it's okay if you get in, but this team isn't built for anything. They don't have anything working for them. They don't have an identity. I don't know what they are. It's a strange team that was supposed to be close and really close. You know, they don't have any, like, they don't have the thing that sparked that makes me go, okay, I can watch any team play a bad game and still go, okay, bad game, whatever. I still trust them in the end. Like, I don't think the Rams game against the Bears is now, this is what the Rams are. No, I don't. I think it was just a cold night, bad night. Bears defense was really good. go home, lick your wounds, make your adjustments, boom. But with the Vikings, I don't know. Is this who they are? Is this what they're all about? Because they've had pretty good games and then they've had awful games. And that's what a 6-6-1 team is, right? Good, bad, up, down, up, down, up, down. But I never know what they are. I don't know what exactly they do. And Seattle last night, I know what they do. They play very good defense, and Russell Wilson has had a very good year, guiding a team of non-stars on the offensive side. But last night he wasn't very good.
Yes, yeah,
last night he didn't seem out of rhythm. He threw it. He threw an interception late. I mean, it was just a bad throw.
Was that the most horrible pass you've ever seen? I mean,
it was a terrible throw.
We would scrutinize a rookie for doing that as much as possible, but a rookie wouldn't even make that throw.
Yeah, it was at the end of the first half, right? Yeah, a couple seconds left in the first half.
I guess maybe he was trying to throw it out of bounds.
Maybe.
I have no idea. I mean, I thought he had a much. I know he has a stronger arm. I know he could sail that ball, and maybe he was fearful of it being intentional ground. It was just a bad game overall.
Yeah, it was, and it was 3-0 at halftime, but I didn't feel like I was in one of those great pitcher's duel, to use a baseball analogy. I was watching two bad football teams play bad football. Well, I shouldn't say, I mean, I don't think Seattle's a bad team. I think Minnesota's, weak, but I don't think Seattle's a bad football team overall. But these were two teams that decided, hey, on Monday night, let's not really play exciting, fun, very entertaining football for the fans at home.
Probably looking ahead,
it just wasn't good.
It's a short week for us. We got a Monday night game that we're right. playing again. Let's let's take today off.
At least the Vikings didn't get shut out with a late touchdown in the fourth quarter to make sure they didn't get the goose egg on the other end.
Well, see, that's the thing, too. You look at that scoreline, 21-7. That wasn't a 21-7 game.
Oh, no. No, Minnesota had nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I'd much rather it stay 6-0.
Although I see you, Bobby Wagner, blocking that field goal, with getting some help from your teammates. Stop. Got away with that one. He goes, well, they called it. They didn't call it. Oh, yeah, they didn't call it, but he got away with one. Oh, goodness. But that was Monday Night Football for you last night. That was it.
Yeah, it made you realize that, that Chiefs-Rams 54-51 game, that was, who wants that?
Right. Oh, exactly. You know what's sad, though? Like, here, the Seahawks haven't been, I'll have to double-check their schedule, but I don't remember them getting a bunch of huge primetime games this season. And last night was a chance because this is their fourth straight win. They're 8-5. Looks like they're going to the postseason. But I don't even even when they say barring a collapse, I mean they've got San Francisco and Arizona on their schedules. So I don't think there's a collapse. But I was hoping that the Seahawks would give you something or give people who haven't seen them all year or something to say, wow, look at the Seahawks. They could be, because remember we're talking about this with Dallas, right? Dallas is the same record at 8-5, right? And the Cowboys, Prescott has his problems. He still needs to find, other receivers. He still needs to throw a better ball at times. They run the ball great with Ezekiel Elliott, but defensively, that's the Cowboys' identity. They don't allow a lot of points. They have a good defense enough to slow you down and stop you. And that's because Dallas, you get to see a lot of Dallas during the year. If they're not on primetime, they're on the late afternoon game across the country. Seattle, I don't get to see Seattle much. So seeing them last night, I was like, okay, what's all the hubbub about the Seahawks? What's all the stuff that people have been brewing about Wilson? Last night wasn't the showcase game to show what this team really is or what this team is capable of doing. And that's too bad because you want to feel like there are these teams like in the wild card or have to play in the wild card weekend as divisional winners that can make some noise in the NFC, but last night didn't show that Seattle could, although we know they can.
As far as I could tell, they had a Monday night game against the Bears in week 2, which they lost.
That's right.
And they had a Thursday night game against
the Packers, right?
The Packers, which they won. Okay. And I'm sure it'll be flexed out. Maybe not. I don't know. Week 16, they have a Sunday night game against the Chiefs.
I kind of hope... I have to look to see what other games might be around that might be better, but I don't know that could be kind of interesting.
It could be.
And there might probably be better matchups late that season that have got real serious playoff implications.
Hey, maybe the Chiefs will have it wrapped up by then, huh?
I don't know.
I don't want to go there. I'm not.
I think, I mean, well, we'll know this Thursday.
That's right. We'll know this Thursday.
Whether or not the AFC West has been decided.
That's got to be the best Thursday night game we're going to have this year between those two teams.
Hope so.
Yeah. I mean, Thursday night games have been pretty good, but that one, Chargers and Chiefs.
All right, so other matchups, Week 16.
Yeah, that could be flexed out of that game.
Could be flexed into...
Into that game, I should say. Into that game.
Yeah,
because that game's already in Sunday night.
I'm really only seeing one other game that could be flexed in.
Okay.
Steelers at Saints.
Boy, if the Steelers had won two of these games in this losing skid, I could see that. But
because other than that, looking at other playoff teams, I mean, Bills are at Patriots.
No.
Buccaneers at Cowboys.
No.
Bears at 49ers. Rams at Cardinals. I mean, none of those are worthy enough to flex into that to that spot. So, yeah, I mean,
Seattle, Kansas City seems to be a good game in week 16.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, hopefully there's something still riding on it.
Yeah, hopefully if not, you're right.
I mean, because the Steelers and Saints have nothing to play for. They've already wrapped up their division.
Well, I would hope they want home field advantage. They're going to be chasing the Rams for that. Home field advantage to the NFC?
Nah, they'll have that wrapped up.
Well, if they keep winning, they will, right? Because they own the tiebreaker on the Rams?
Yeah, because they beat them.
Yeah, they beat them. So they'll have the Rams had the one game lead until they lost Sunday night. And now they're tied, so they beat them, so they have it. So they'll need to keep winning, but you know, we'll see. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to join us to talk about last night's game. Again, coming up in the show later in the show next hour, we'll talk top five, bottom five. Coming up though, I want to get to the SI Sports Person of the Year, which is awarded over the weekend, I believe. But you know what? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't a person. That's coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll talk about the SI Sports Person of the Year, or Sports Persons of the Year coming up. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient. Known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Yesterday, I went to the doctor's. I had to go to a doctor's appointment for a follow-up on some blood work that I had. And so it was a really quick appointment, which, you know, God bless the doctor's office in my little town here. Got me in and out pretty quickly. But you know what happened? I didn't realize this. I don't know where my head was. I have one of those cars where it's the key. You don't put a key in. The key is detected on your chain, and it just detects that there's a key, and then you press a start button, and your car starts up. So then when you stop the car, when you put it in park, you press the button to turn the car off.
That's a little bougie.
Okay. So, you know, it's kind of neat. I don't know how this happened. I left the car running. The
nice.
Entire time I was in the hospital, the doctor's office for my appointment. When I got out, I walked out. Now, luckily, I wasn't in there very long, but I was in there probably 20 minutes. I walked in, and it's a small doctor's office, so it's not a, you know. I walked in. They said, "Okay, yeah, we'll sit down. We'll be right with you." Bam! I was right with you. Went over the blood work. Said, "All right." Came back. It's just a follow up. No big check. Good, good, good. Asking questions. Blah blah blah. I said, "Okay, great." They go, "You can check right out." I went over to Lady Lace. Said, "Oh, you're all good. If you want to make an appointment in 6 months, great. Whatever." I said, "Yeah, I'll talk to my wife." Okay, bye. Thank you for everything. Bye. And I walk out the door. I see, like you know this, I don't know, the exhaust
right
coming out, and I go, "Oh, that doesn't look right." Oh, then I thought maybe the car, I don't know, was still emitting fumes on the cold day. I get in the car, and the car is running. And I go, how did this happen? How did I do this? This is the first time I've ever happened. So, you know, if something should happen to my car, I'm going to go to O'Reilly Auto Parts and tell them exactly what happened. I left my car running for like half an hour. It was very warm, by the way, when I got inside.
There's nice the bonus. There's a silver lining right
nice
there.
Nice and toasty. That's right. So, oh, God, where's my head? I don't know what's happening to me. I don't know. So Sports Illustrated named the Golden State Warriors their Sports People of the Year, Sports Persons of the Year.
Ooh, okay, can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Let's see. What happened last year? It's 2018, so we had a really good national championship. We had a surprising Super Bowl.
Surprising Super Bowl, right? We had Villanova win the national championship.
So you could go there. Oh, you know, why not the little darling that was at Loyola Marymount?
Loyola Chicago. Sister Jean? Why not Sister Jean? Yeah, throw her a little sports person of the year. She kind of captured the nation's attention.
I mean, and honestly, she's not going to be around much longer.
I know. Give her something.
You know, but you can't be sad.
They gave her a ring. They gave her a Final Four ring.
Yeah, but you can't be sad because she has a direct pathway to heaven.
No kidding.
Come on.
No kidding. So, plus, she's like over 90, so yeah. She's doing good.
And she's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would...
Red Sox won the World Series. No, you can't do that.
Whatever.
So Golden State winning their third title in the last 4 years, creating the super team. This seems to me Sports
Golden
Illustrated
State?
Going... Yeah, this is Sports Illustrated going, got nothing. I don't know what else to do.
Man,
we don't have a person.
I would have thrown love towards Nick Foles.
I would have, too. That was a great story.
And I'm not trying to pander to Philadelphia.
No, but still. Golden State seems to be a lazy choice here by Sports Illustrated. All right. Golden State, they've been pretty good. And listen, over the past couple of years, like last year in 2017, J.J. Watt and Jose Altuve won it. I mean, that was a great choice. A great choice. American League MVP, they won the World Series. J.J. Watt raised all that money after Hurricane Harvey. LeBron James in 2016 won it because he helped Cleveland to a title for the first time. The city celebrated for the first time in 50 years. But sometimes they just throw something out there and like, see if it sticks. You know. And I think this Golden State Warriors thing is I can't wrap my arms around this. I mean, big deal. So they had Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and they won the NBA title again. Oh, boy, what an accomplishment. Wow. Stop me if you heard this before. Third time in 4 years. Let's recognize. In 2013, Peyton Manning won. He set the single-season touchdown record. They were the AFC champions, but they did not win the Super Bowl, of course, losing to Seattle. But you know what? That year, the Red Sox won the World Series. You remember that was the year of the Boston bombing at the marathon? And I thought David Ortiz would have been a great choice for Sports Person of the Year. Because remember he gave that speech? And you know, he's like, this is our beep city.
Yep.
Remember that? And then he kind of bookended the season because that happened in April. And he bookended the other end of the season by leading the Red Sox to a World Series championship. I thought that would have been a good pick. But I mean,
I'm looking over top sports mode of 2018. I can figure out a couple others.
Give me a couple of others that I may have missed in my process.
How about this one? Yeah, okay. Do you want individuals or team?
It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, here, individual plus team. How about Ovechkin with the Capitals?
Oh yeah. Why not Ovechkin? That's actually a great choice. I don't think they haven't had a hockey guy win this award in a while.
Probably since Gretzky.
Probably Gretzky. If I look it up, I bet you Gretzky's won it, and that's pretty much it.
But I mean, you're 42 years. I mean, this was
yes.
You know, why not honor them?
You give it to Golden State, yet another ring, another banner. Ho hum. The Capitals haven't won anything. Washington's been in a championship drought for a while. Ovechkin winning the Stanley Cup is great. Or better yet, how about the Vegas Golden Knights, if you want to talk about
it?
Like, why not them?
One.
Right? Weren't they a bunch of cast-offs and, you know, whatnot, and guys who came together and like, you know what? These other teams didn't want us. Let's put together a team.
I think it was aside from the goalie. I think the goalie was, he was the number two guy for the Penguins, I want to say.
Right. Marc-Andre Fleury?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But he would have been any other team's number one. It was just
listen to me dropping hockey knowledge.
Yeah,
boy, I know, right?
Man, I didn't show up enough.
but That was a good. That was a great story.
Yeah. Or if you're gonna do, I know it's not sports person, but arguably probably the biggest sports story of the year that's been ongoing is sports gambling.
Yeah,
maybe a concept.
Yeah,
because that's
have they done that before?
I don't know. Probably.
No, I don't know. Probably not. I don't think they've done that before. They did one year. They gave it to like in '87. I remember because when I used to get Sports Illustrated when I was a young lad, they had a whole bunch of people on the cover, and all it was just athletes who help people. Like they didn't. It wasn't like they accomplished great things. They just help people. And that was it. Athletes Who Care, I think, was the title of it. That was the closest concept thing they have.
Yeah, but I mean, Warriors, I mean, it just seems lazy.
It seems lazy, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's
just, yes, they won an NBA championship last year, but they didn't break any season total records. They didn't do anything outstanding and flashy. They just did what they were supposed to, what we all thought they were going to do, and what we're all thinking they're going to do this year.
Exactly. I know Sports Illustrated is gone, you know, it's in decline and everything, but I remember when this was a really big deal. Like, this is the fourth time they gave it to a team. They gave it to the Red Sox one year. They gave it to the United States Olympic hockey team in 1980. I'm trying to think of another one, but the U.S. women's soccer team in 99. So that's it.
Are you wearing your hat too much to cover that hairline?
Well, yes, I am.
Go to forhims.com/cheer for help. That's forhims.com/cheer. Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I was just perusing the list of Sports Illustrated Sports People of the Year. Goes back to 1954 when Roger Bannister won track and field for the first sub-4-minute mile. That's pretty good company.
It's a worthy pick.
Arnold Palmer won in 1960. Pete Rozelle, professional football commissioner, NFL expansion, suspensions for gambling. Boy, how far have we come? Kalia Skremski, the Triple Crown winner in 1967, won. Gretzky was the last hockey guy to win 1982.
82?
82. I can't find another hockey player winning this award.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You know what? I'm going to double check just to make sure. I don't want to bring out fake news. Nope. I can't find another hockey person. If you want to count Bob Bourne for the Athletes Who Care, but that doesn't really count.
Nope.
Yep. 1982, Wayne Gretzky. That's it for hockey. And the U.S. Olympic team won in 80. They don't really give hockey a lot of love. Steve Coffin won in 77 for the Triple Crown racing. I thought that horse was going to win. The last one that won the Triple Crown, not the one we just had, but the other one?
American Pharoah.
The American Pharoah. I thought that was going to win a couple of years ago. 2014, I think it was. But they gave it to Madison Bumgarner for the World Series MVP. Apparently, you don't have to do something like significant for the whole year. You just got to do something significant for the period of time you're on the stage. They gave, in 2008, Michael Phelps won, which was a great choice. Do you remember Michael Phelps at the Olympics in 2008?
Oh,
like,
course.
Everybody stopped what they were doing whenever he was swimming. I remember it was at a preseason Broncos game in the press box, and they were, you know, as the crowd was leaving the game, they the big jumbotron, they flashed the Olympics, and Michael Phelps was swimming. Like, people stopped and went back to their seats to watch swimming. Everybody was watching Michael Phelps in the swimming in the 2008 Summer Olympics. It was fantastic.
It was must-watch.
Must-watch.
And it was incredible. He performed. That was the other thing, too.
That was the thing. He kept winning. You kept wondering if he was not going to win, and then he kept winning.
Yeah, and then he had that one that was, you know, still probably highly contested by the French guy, where he literally out-touched him by like a...
Oh, remember that? They showed the slow motion camera and he was barely touching got there, but he got there enough time. You know what's interesting about the going through this list? It's kind of fascinating because you see the names and you try to remember what was the big deal around that person that particular year. Like, why that particular year? 1996, the sports person of the year was Tiger Woods. Now, 96, he hadn't won the Masters yet. He was just a U.S. amateur champion and an NCAA champion golfer.
Yep.
Now, when I can't remember any, and I follow golf and I like golf, but I can't tell you another U.S. amateur NCAA champion. I don't follow it that closely. Tiger Woods that
Did
year.
Did Jordan Spieth win it?
No. He should have. He won two majors in 2015.
No,
that went to Serena Williams.
Saying, US
oh,
amateur.
U.S. amateur. I don't think Spieth won the amateur. I know he won the NCAA championship for Texas, but I don't know if he ever won the amateur. But that year, I mean, Tiger Woods. That was the article. Tiger Woods. That was the article that where his dad said he would change the world. You remember that whole big deal where he said my son's like Jesus and Gandhi or whatever however he phrased it.
You know, he's not wrong.
He was going to have a bigger impact on the planet than just playing golf. Yeah, no kidding.
But maybe help me out here because my memory is a little rusty. 1986.
86.
Joe Paterno wins Sports Person of the Year. Was that the year Penn State won it all?
I think that was the year they beat Miami.
Did he have to give that back?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, there's a lot of ones in this list that I'm looking back where I'm like, wow, okay. All right. Let's see here. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire won.
The same year. Back?
Both of them on the cover. Like, these guys changed baseball. Yeah.
Summer of
98. They did. Yeah, summer of 98. That's another one we were all caught up in. Remember that?
Oh, God.
Remember how great it was? Tim Duncan and David Robinson were on the cover of 2003.
What about 2002? Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, 2002. Right. So here's, I stupidly put Robinson and Duncan in the conversation of disgraced former. So I don't want to do that. It just caught my eye. Lance Armstrong on the cover of 2002. Now we know better. I'm trying to find some other ones. I think it's it for right now.
As far as disgraced athletes?
Disgraced athletes that won this award and then later was like, oh, okay, yikes. Whatever. Well, I want to put Pete Rose there, but I don't know. That was 75.
That doesn't count.
No, it doesn't really count.
Look at Pittsburgh getting some love in 79.
79, that Willie Stargell and Terry Bradshaw won the award. Yeah. This was a big deal, but I don't know if it's a big deal now, but it used to be a big deal to win this
thing.
Well,
it's not a big deal now if you're just choosing the Warriors.
Yeah, I know, right? If you're just going, meh.
If you just find,
give us the list of champions. Okay, it's the Eagles, the Warriors. Stop right there, Golden State. Okay, I'm done. Okay, fine.
Yeah, more. I guess there's more player, more identifiable names on the Warriors than there are with the Eagles. Zach Ertz doesn't move the.
You think
Eagles
they sell more magazines because Golden State has won this award rather than Ovechkin in the Capitals?
See, I think we said Ovechkin in the Capitals. Another good one, another fun one could have been the U.S. curling team.
Yeah, they won.
Why not?
They
won the gold medal.
They won the gold medal,
they had
right?
To come back. They were like a game away
good
from
point.
Being eliminated.
That's a good point. Olympics. I totally
Why
forgot
not
about
any
that.
I'm looking over this list, and every Olympic year they're skewing more towards Olympics,
right?
Just because these guys don't have their moment in the sun once every 4 years.
Outside of the curling, did we have an Olympic hero these last Winter Games?
No,
I don't remember. Where was the Olympics in
South Korea?
That's right, South Korea.
All
I barely remember that.
Yeah, I remember it because there was there's a penis park outside of Pyongyang, Korea.
That's how you remember it.
That's how I remember.
That's how you remember the fact that we had the Olympics this season. we didn't have a snowboard champion that was out of
Sean
this world.
White.
Wait a minute. Didn't we have Sean White win a gold medal?
Yeah, Sean White on his
the flying tomato.
Remember
Come
he
on.
Was bawling to his
Remember
parents?
That he was crying? Yes.
Come on.
Give it to Golden State, you lazy magazine.
Or why not give it to both? Give it to Sean White and Grace Kim.
It's right. Good point.
Grace Kim
Listen.
Was like 17. She's still in high school.
This is like sport. Medal. This is like Sports Illustrated forgetting they were supposed to have this award, right? At the last second they went, oh my God, it's December. We're supposed to have a sports person of the year. Somebody give me a name. Golden State. Great, great, great. Get a picture. Get the images. Throw it on. Let's put it together. Perfect. Great. Print it.
Yes, if you do a little, like we're doing a little investing into the year of 2018, and we're finding some gems that we barely remember, but once we remember them, like, yes, that's right, that should be. That Golden State.
No, we just got a little brainstorm bubble going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. We it. Did. That's what we did.
We put 2018 in the center, had all these branches, and just going, what else happened in 2018?
Alexander Ovechkin winning a cup for the city of Washington. I mean, the city of Washington, the district of Washington. We've talked about Nick Foles, backup quarterback, wins the Super Bowl, meets the Patriots, no less, giving the Eagles their first Super Bowl title. Come on. Then we talked about Sean White at the Olympics. We talked about, didn't we talk about this with Tiger Woods? Yet was it yesterday?
Yes.
Tiger Woods coming back and winning the Tour Championship. Coming back and winning. They didn't think he would be able to swing a club again. And he built his way back up to becoming winning the final event of the year, winning the Tour Championship. And if you remember the PGA, do you remember the swarm of people that were following him and they didn't even realize Brooks Koepka was still out on the course? He was actually winning the tournament. Like everybody was on the Koepka. Final hole watching. Well, I know Koepka, watching Tiger Woods, and he led the British Open. You could have totally done Tiger Woods as sports person of the year after that comeback. You could have done a great detail of all of the injuries. You could have done a detail of the night, the accident, the fall from grace, everything that he's gone through to build his life back up again, his career back up again. I mean, he was what, 1,000th on the ratings, on the world rankings? There was a time where he was embarrassing himself by playing golf. He was chipping like 2 feet in front of him. He shot an 87 or something at Memorial. And now he won the Tour Championship. What a great choice that would have been. Sorry, this Golden State thing is just weak.
It's just lazy.
It's lazy. Just exactly.
Like, I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think they forgot that they had to give this award out and just went, oh, God, what do we do? Somebody tell me what happened this year.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, well, remember the Golden State? Yes! Go with that.
Because, I mean, the reason why that's lazy, had it been 2 years ago when the Warriors won. Or
yeah.
3 years ago, I can't remember. I can't even keep straight how many times they've won now. You know, that I can agree with. I can say, okay, you know what, this team, especially if you give it on their first championship, they were a good team, but relatively unknown. The one where they set the single season wins record, and Steph Curry goes off for like 500 three-pointers, and that makes sense.
That
to me
could
to
make
do
sense.
It then.
Yes.
Last year is like, okay, yes, they're a super team. They have four of the five top players on their team. Just give them. They should win. Just like this year, we're looking at them now. It's like, why is the rest of the NBA playing? They're gonna win.
And here's the other part about this is that, and this is kind of their fault because they went a little above and beyond any stats or anything. Like, look, a couple of, you know, sure. Dwayne Wade wins an NBA champion and he's the finals MVP in the city of Miami. All right. So they give it to him in 2006. Fine. But a lot of the ones that win this or have won it, they tell a larger story than just the performance, right? The Red Sox win the 2004 World Series as a team. Of course, they ended the curse of the Bambino. That's
most
a great larger story,
sports.
Right? Exactly. So some of them aren't that, but some of them are that. The J.J. Watt, Jose Altuve thing. J.J. Watt didn't perform on the field in 2017.
At all.
Right? I mean, at all. But what he did for Hurricane Harvey puts in the combination of that with Jose Altuve and the Astros gives Houston this dynamic duo that deserves recognition for that year. There's a larger story with LeBron winning the NBA championship for the city of Cleveland. There's a larger story with Mike Krzyzewski and Pat Summitt, the winningest basketball coaches in 2011. There's a larger story with Drew Brees, who was a Super Bowl MVP and helped build back the city of New Orleans. But Golden State is none of those things. They're just an NBA champion with a loaded team that everybody predict. They weren't an underdog. They didn't overcome anything. They didn't, you know, they didn't persevere through tough times. They were expected to win and they won and yay. And now they're awarded this honor for 2018 when you and I just doing in 10 minutes uncovered four or five better stories in sports than Golden State winning the Larry O'Brien Trophy. So, yeah, Sports Illustrated, don't be lazy on us. Do better next year, please. Do better. All right, 800-777-2907. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM. Who's your Spurts Person of the Year in 2018? Coming up, we'll still talk about the NFL playoff picture now that we've got a little bit light in what happened last night. I don't think much changed here on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, this is Warrant. Well done. Well done. This is from 1989 or 90, right?
Yeah, that's a hair band day.
Right, hair band. Warrant. It was the woman that was in there, the video. She was... She became kind of famous, I think.
Did she?
I think
you're not confusing her with Whitesnake's woman, right?
No, that was Tawny Kitaen. Tawny Kitaen dated who was he? The Angels pitcher, married him or something. Man, I gotta look that up now. Now you gotta look that up. Tawny Kitaen, I think.
Yeah,
I think she beat him up. I think Tawny Kitaen beat him up.
Probably.
Chuck Finley? Was there a pitcher named Chuck Finley
there
for the Angels?
There was a pitcher named Chuck Finley.
I think he was married to Tawny Kitaen. I'm looking it up right now because I want to. I now need to know this.
And I'll look up. Yeah,
spouse
of
Chuck
Kitaen.
Finley, 1997 to 2002. She was also the wife of David Coverdale, lead singer of Whitesnake, from 89 to 91. But I think she got in trouble because she got arrested. I think she did something with Chuck Finley or something. Here it is. She was charged with domestic violence for an incident involving Finley, whom she had kicked in the face repeatedly with a high heel shoe. 3 days later, Finley filed for divorce. Good for him. She agreed to enter a spousal battery counseling program and avoid contact with Finley.
They'd
been married
involved.
For 5 years. Yeah, I think
it's the 80s. It could have been drugs.
She kicked him with a high heel shoe. Are you kidding? Wow.
But why do you wait 3 days? Wow. I mean, for me, that's a deal breaker.
That's right.
10 minutes.
How about, exactly. How about that day, right? He filed for divorce that day, got up, wiped off the wound, and then left. I'm looking her up right now. You know, celebrity net worth only has her wealth at $500,000. I think she would have pocketed some more money being married to the lead singer of Whitesnake.
Can't do too many cartwheels anymore.
Yeah, I guess so. Isn't she in movies and everything like that? Wow. Tawny Kitaen. Well, thanks for bringing up Warrant, because that was like one of the hair bands from my youth coming in. And we threw a little Chuck Finley in there. All right, coming up, we'll do top five, bottom five. Let's continue to look at the NFL Monday Night Football. Seattle a winner, but how much do they really win? That coming up next.